Some people change a community, some even a nation. Some people change the world. We're here in Wittenberg, Germany, in front of a door. This isn't the original door, but this does have 95 theses that changed the world. Who was it that was involved with this? Why did he do it? You're going to find out. Standing in the very living quarters of Martin Luther and his wife Catherine. The original walls and wood and benches, it's a very impressive sight. It is right here where they used to eat and fellowship with the students that lived with them. It was a unique type of education where students learned not only in a classroom setting, but also side by side with their master teacher. Similarly, we have wonderful Seventh-day Adventist educational institutions around the world, and one of them is a very unique one. It's located in Isny, Germany. Isny is a small town in southeastern Germany with around 14,000 people. What was once a royal city is today a city overcome by its own beauty and tranquility, with its quaint homes submerged in natural beauty. It's in this peaceful place that I found these young Adventists paying attention to every word spoken by the teacher. They're receiving medical missionary training, learning to help others with health education, but also biblical truth. That's because at the end of the course, they choose between the health ministry or seminary to study theology and become pastors.
I believe in young people. I believe that if young people get the right training and the right motivation, they can accomplish a lot. And that's why I'm so passionate about running a school like this.
I came here because I wanted to get a better connection to God, to know Him better.
Ich bin hierher gekommen. Ein Freund von mir hat mir davon erzählt und ich wollte es auch ausprobieren. Dann habe ich einen Flyer in die Hand gedrückt bekommen und so habe ich mich dafür entschieden, auf die Josiah-Schule zu kommen.
I came here to learn how to share Jesus. I believed for a long time, but I had always problems to share it with others.
War nicht meine Wille, aber Gott hat für mich entschieden und ich finde das wunderschön.
And another important contribution is that young people who have never thought of becoming pastors, they come to our school and they receive God's calling during their training here and they decide to become pastors.
Ja, ich bin durch einen Freund auf die Missionsschule gekommen und durch seine Veränderung, wo ich das gesehen habe, wie es ihn verändert hat, wollte ich auch dorthin auf die Missionsschule.
In der Gemeinde habe ich so gelernt, vom Kopf her alles zu verstehen, aber hier hat man es gelernt, mit dem Herzen zu verstehen. Und das war auch mein Ziel.
Also ich bin aus zwei Gründen hergekommen. Einmal wollte ich, dass mein geistliches Leben besser wird. Und zum Zweiten wollte ich lernen, wie man andere Menschen das Evangelium verkündet.
Mein Traum ist, dass die Studenten, die hierher kommen, gefestigt mit einer klaren Vision und einem großen Herzen für Jesus wieder rausgehen und wissen, wie sie auf Gottes Stimme hören können, wie sie auf ihn reagieren können.
I believe that each conference should have a school like this and encourage their young people continually to attend a school like this.
That meeting with those young people impressed me a lot. It gave me hope for the future. It helped me to understand that truly the Lord is not only calling young people, but He's calling you and me to be missionaries for Him in these very last days before Jesus soon returns. The education they receive now will be shared later with others. What gives this so much meaning is how much of themselves they are giving in preparing for their future and the future of others. And while on the subject of preparedness, let me take you to a different place in Germany. Worms is a charming city in the southwest region of Germany. Downtown, we have the Cathedral of St. Peter, today known as the Worms Cathedral. Next to the church, there is a square that has the largest Reformation monument in the world. It contains 9 statues and 8 portraits of the most important figures in the Reformation. At the center of the monument, the statue of Martin Luther has an engraving that reads, "Faith is nothing else but that right, truthful life in God Himself. To understand Scripture right, one must have the Spirit of Christ." Seated at his feet are the main forerunners of the Reformation, including John Wycliffe and Jan Hus. We're here in downtown Worms, Germany. I'm standing on the spot where a very important building used to exist. It's gone. Let me tell you about it. Here is the exact place where the Diet of Worms took place, an incredible meeting with the Emperor, the Princes of Germany, the representatives of the papacy, there to try and get Martin Luther to recant. Let's move on and see what happened. On this very spot, in this very place, here in Worms, is where Martin Luther made his incredible defense for truth, for the testimony of Jesus, for righteousness by faith. And he made such an eloquent and valiant explanation before the Diet of Worms. The spokesperson of the Diet was enraged and demanded that he recant. Martin Luther went on to say, "Unless I can be shown from Scripture, from the testimony of Scripture, or from very logical reasoning, I cannot recant. I will not. I cannot recant." He went on to say, "Here I stand. I can do no other. May God help me." Not far from here, in the city of Lahr, the same spirit and determination drove Heiner Lachmann to start a work of reformation, a revival for mission. I want you to meet Heiner Lachmann, an Adventist who has had a story of influence, humility, and dedication. It seems that these three conditions are essential for the Word of God to reach as far as possible. Being in a place where it is difficult to share his faith, he came up with a strategy for reaching his friends, a small group.
Warum ich mich für die kleinen Gruppen entschieden habe, weil ich es aus der Schrift entdeckt habe. Ja, ich war fasziniert von Apostelgeschichte 2. Sie waren nicht nur im Tempel, sie waren hier und dort in den Häusern. Ich habe immer gesagt, die haben Bibelstunde. Ja?
A peaceful life, a healthy diet, a solid marriage, and a genuine experience with God. This was the recipe to Heiner's impact on his friends and guests, being an example to show how he received so much peace.
Also, ich kenne den Heiner schon seit meiner Jugend. So mit 13, 14 Jahren habe ich ihn kennengelernt.
Ja, ich bin in einem atheistischen Land in Russland geboren worden und wo ich nach Deutschland gekommen bin.
Und ich war aber ein ziemlich rebellischer Mensch. Ich war ein tough guy, würde ich mal sagen. Also so, mein bester Freund war mein Alkohol gewesen.
Ich habe dann über Bekannte den Heiner Lachmann kennengelernt. Er hat mir gesagt, ich kann jeden Dienstag kommen, da hat er einen Bibelkreis.
Ich habe in meinem eigenen Leben durch das Evangelium so viel Liebe von Gott empfangen, dass ich eigentlich meine Existenzberechtigung als Christ nur noch darin sah, das weiterzugeben. Ja.
Und in dieser Annonce war eine Telefonnummer. Und da habe ich angerufen, da war Heiner Lachmann am Telefon und hat gesagt, wir haben einen Hausbibelkreis.
Habe dadurch, sie hatten Silberhochzeit, wurde ich hinterher zu Ihnen eingeladen.
Sie tut sich da wahrscheinlich ein bisschen schwer, aber wenn ich sie denn an der Seite gehabt hätte, hätte das nicht funktioniert.
Und da habe ich mich dann auch angefangen, mich zu beschäftigen, was das überhaupt sein soll, weil eben alle Christen Sonntag halten.
Ich bin dann in diesen Hausbibelkreis gegangen, habe hier die Bibelstunden besucht und habe dann erfahren, dass meine Großmutter, die 1969 verstorben ist.
Und in meiner Verzweiflung, die ich hatte, gab es nur eine einzige Möglichkeit, zu dem Mann hinzugehen, der mich immer angesprochen hat.
Bibelkreis habe ich dann erkannt, dass was ich vorher gelebt habe, total falsch ist.
Leingern und wo ich dann mit dem Kurs fertig war, kam der Heiner. Hätte mir ein Geschenk gebracht und dann hätte er mir eingeladen. In den Bibelkurs.
Und habe dann für mein Leben entschieden, mich um 180 Grad zu drehen und Jesus Christus nachzufolgen und alles, was ich früher gemacht habe, hinter mir zu lassen.
Und 1991 wurde ich dann getauft. Und seit 1995 mache ich in der Adventgemeinde auch Pfadfinderarbeit.
Ich habe mich jetzt vor ungefähr im März bin ich auch getauft worden. Und da habe ich dann jetzt zum Adventist gefunden.
Und dies habe ich 1991 erfahren dürfen. Und 1992 habe ich mich taufen lassen.
Der ganze Himmel freut sich über einen Sünder, der Buße tut. Warum sollen wir uns da nicht auch freuen?
Dann wäre das viel. Ich glaube, wir müssen, es steht nicht umsonst in der Offenbarung so oft, hier ist die Geduld der Heiligen. Ich glaube, wir müssen lernen, mit den Menschen, die Gott uns in den Weg stellt, mehr Geduld zu haben. Denn wenn er mit mir nicht so viel Geduld gehabt hätte, würde ich jetzt nicht hier stehen.
The power of influence is something that is absolutely undeniable. Historically, many leaders, artists, and even ordinary people were influential. In this German city, we have an example of what an idea can do to the entire world in the hands of a person who is determined and driven. Yes, we're talking about the Protestant Reformation, a movement that is not restricted to the past, but is even today influential in our way of thinking and our relationship with God. And in these old streets of Wittenberg, Reform seems to speak powerfully, even in silence. To protect him from this fate, Prince Frederick seized him on his way home and hid him in Wartburg Castle. It was during his time in Wartburg that Luther began his German translation of the Bible. Martin Luther's powerful testimony of faith at the Diet of Worms in 1521 made an indelible impression upon the mind of George, Margrave of Brandenburg-Ansbach, who turned his eyes to the new faith earlier than any other German prince or any other member of the House of Hohenzollern. Moreover, Luther entered into correspondence with him, discussing with him the most important problems of faith. The edict was temporarily suspended at the Diet of Speyer in 1526, but then reinstated in 1529, when Luther eventually re-emerged from the Wartburg Castle. The emperor, distracted with other matters, did not press for Luther's arrest. Ultimately, because of rising public support for Luther among the German people and the protection of certain German princes, the Edict of Worms was never enforced in Germany. We're here in the Wartburg Castle. It's a magnificent place. It's perched up on the top of a mountainside surrounded by incredible forests. And centuries ago, something incredible took place right here. This castle started being built in 1068 and was instrumental during wars, marking territory, and being a fortress for nobility. but it is most famously known as a shelter for Martin Luther from 1521 until 1522. This happened when King Frederick the Wise decided to help the theologian after being excommunicated from the Catholic Church by Pope Leo X. It was in this isolated environment that a work of tremendous influence was created. Influential for the people and for the world, an extraordinary revival began. I can imagine Martin Luther spending hours of time right here translating the New Testament from Greek into German. And then it was produced in a tremendous way. He was a visionary because the printing press had been established, thereby putting the Word of God into the hands of the German people, which then, by God's grace, produced revival and reformation. In the Wartburg Castle, God protected Martin Luther personally in a safety situation. But he also protected Martin Luther from the kind of pride and the kind of arrogance that could have occurred when people would have lifted him up at the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And in this very room, in this particular place, Martin Luther studied the scriptures and produced some tremendous material that would help the beginning of that great Protestant Reformation. In fact, the book, The Great Controversy, indicates that Martin Luther was protected here from the kind of elevation that those people would have produced had he been in their midst. God had a special purpose for Martin Luther here, because in this very place, he produced the German text of the New Testament, coming from the Greek. He used 16 different dialects in order to, in essence, create a unified German language. What persistence, what determination, what dedication. And today, we have wonderful stories of dedication and perseverance. Now let me tell you a story about spiritual vision, about the power of prayer, about the dynamics of small groups, and how the Holy Spirit produced results. This is Bergamo, an Italian city in Lombardy, 25 miles northeast of Milan. With ancient streets and buildings, it houses over 120,000 people, some in the upper part and others in the lower part of the city, which is full of churches lined with gold and classical works of art. It was here that we found these people, revived in their faith and devoted to their study of the Bible.
L'obiettivo era di consacrarci totalmente al Signore. L'obiettivo era di vivere Atti capitolo 1 e capitolo 2, le chiese primitive.
I piccoli gruppi sono per noi una realtà molto positiva, perché ci dà modo di conoscerci meglio.
E questo ha aperto, l'idea di questi piccoli gruppi ha creato innanzitutto uno spirito di amicizia.
Quindi abbiamo cominciato di nuovo a rifare gli studi insieme, anche se li avevamo già fatti, e poi da lì abbiamo deciso di battezzarci.
Beh, perché i piccoli gruppi passavano attraverso una fase di interazione, per cui creando il legame si condivideva anche sia la motivazione della preghiera, che la preghiera stessa, che l'obiettivo della Chiesa.
Però sentivo dentro qualcosa, no? Che mi spingeva, no? a leggere, è la Chiesa, no?
E invece attraverso i gruppi veramente si creava questa atmosfera che era veramente particolare.
C'è un clima molto di amicizia, di calore, di affetto familiare. È penso questo che sia la leva fondamentale per poter trasmettere e condividere il messaggio di Gesù Cristo.
Che è stato quello che ha dato la carica alla Chiesa di potersi sviluppare. È stata una specie di risveglio, diciamo.
il piccolo gruppo, non solo la scuola del sabato è diventato un gruppo familiare e il piccolo gruppo è fiorito e si è diviso in due o tre gruppi.
Molto, danno molta carica, perché si prega il Signore con tanta fiducia, perché magari in chiesa ci si vergogna un pochino, tutti insieme così, invece in un piccolo gruppo si ha più forza di parlare.
Il piccolo gruppo è una creazione di Dio, è la volontà di Dio per la crescita dell'Evangelo. E l'ho capito solo soltanto in questi ultimi due anni, tre, perché è attraverso, è dando amore che tu ricevi amore.
Gesù è colui che mi ha dato la possibilità di avere la vita.
Gesù per me è tutto. È colui che mi aiuta, mi accompagna, mi sostiene in ogni momento della mia vita.
Per me è il mio amico intimo. È, oltre a essere il mio Dio, il mio creatore, il mio salvatore.
Gesù per me, anche per me devo dire che è tutto perché in lui trovo la pace quando sono in difficoltà.
Gesù è il tuo personale salvatore e ti chiede solo obbedienza ai miei comandamenti, credi a me come tuo personale salvatore.
E mi fa vivere in questa terra come se fossi in paradiso.
Laddove per tutto intendo il mio consolatore, il mio maestro, la mia guida, mio padre.
It takes time to influence people. Much patience is needed. Just like it takes patience to take care of flowers such as these, lavender. Alone and quietly, this tiny flower takes time to grow and develop. But in fulfilling the purpose it received from the Creator Himself, it gives off its perfume, its essence, to everything around it. Its scent can be perceived even a mile away. Such is the influence of someone who lives for Christ. It is simply impossible not to talk about him, to have the essence of a Christian. This is the gospel message. It changes us. It's sweet like the scent of lavender in Provence, changing everything, just like Luther's Reformation. My dear friends, I want to ask each of you to consider in your own hearts how the Holy Spirit can truly take possession of your mind and your heart and help you to stand for truth regardless of what you may face. What a beautiful, shining example Martin Luther gave centuries ago. And now God is asking you to continue this reformation by focusing upon Christ, upon truth, upon the Bible, and upon His soon Second Coming. I'd like to ask God's blessing on us in a very special way as we face the future. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this very precious place, this place where one of your servants stood so valiantly for you, one of the shining moments in history. Lord, we know that he did this through your power. And now, Lord, I ask that you will empower each of us to also take a beautiful and powerful and wonderful stand for you, focusing upon the truths of Scripture and pointing people to Christ and His righteousness and His soon coming. May we each stand firm for you as Martin Luther did. And Lord, we thank you for hearing us and for the promise of your soon coming. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We'll see you next time.